This ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 97.5.com podcast is presented by Bud Light, the perfect beer for whatever happens.
You're listening to Dynamo All Access, presented by Bud Light, on your home for the Houston Dynamo. Yahoo Sports Radio 1560, from high atop the Gal Building, overlooking the Galleria. Here's Glenn Davis.
Okay, as always, it's time to visit with the manager, Owen Coyle, who joins us here tonight on Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM. Owen, thank you very much for coming on the program, as always.
No, Glenn, thanks for the opportunity. I mean, we're always there. The great thing for us is obviously to promote the brand we have at the Dynamo. And as disappointing it was to lose that game last night, it's important that everybody sees that we're totally committed, we're all together, and we know moving forward, we know what the big goal is, and that's what we aim to achieve.
I know you just dropped your mom and your brother off at the airport. How was that? Did they have a nice time here in Houston? What did they think of the city?
They absolutely loved Houston. I mean, the people, as always, were very friendly. And my mum is 84 now, Glenn, and you know she loved her time in Houston. The disappointing thing was she comes to the games and she's as passionate as I am, so she wasn't best pleased about that. But the great thing is, you know, everybody took her to her heart and they had a great time. I mean, but again, you know, we do two things: we do soccer and family, so we want to make sure that where they're visiting, we're picking up results, and you know, we know that we can certainly achieve more points than we did in the last couple of games.
So what does Owen Coyle's mom say to you after the game last night? I'm very interested to hear this.
Well, it's like anything else, Glenn. You know, we've all got mothers, and mothers are just obviously protective of their own, aren't they? And you know, when your children hurt, then you hurt. And that never goes away, regardless of whether you're a mum at 24 or a mum at 84. And, you know, and she feels for you because obviously she knows how hard we're working, how hard everybody's trying to put things in place in the Dynamo. And she feels when you don't get those wins, she feels for one of us, our children. It's as simple as that.
She wasn't criticizing anything about the manager or telling you who to put in or substitution patterns or anything?
Certainly not last night. I think she watched the same game as everybody else and she knew how well the lads had played. We were certainly, you know, we were well worth the win last night. There's no getting away from that. But we've conceded a goal from a free kick, and although it's offside, we should still, I think, be in a position to defend that better. And then we've passed up Gillett's chances, you know. We've missed a penalty. You know, anything that probably could go against you did. But the important thing is that we don't have that mentality that we feel sorry for ourselves. We are the only ones that can affect, you know, our own fate. We decide our own destiny. And we'll take, as I said before, the punch in the teeth. Don't feel sorry. We pick ourselves up quickly. We've got a huge game at Toronto on Sunday. And we are the ones that will decide how we do, Glenn. And that's my message to the players. A message to the fans who have been brilliant. Keep supporting your team, keep behind the team, and we'll go over the duration of time. We'll get where we need to be, and that's to give everybody a successful team, a team that they can come along, enjoy watching in terms of the way we play, which has been pleasing, but we want to get the results to go with it.
You reclaimed the defensive side of it after the FC Dallas game. This was a great response after the Dallas game, where admittedly you said this was probably your poorest game of the year, but you reclaimed that. You were the aggressors in this game. Everything there, apart from really the end product at the end of the night.
Absolutely. And the other thing within that, Glenn, I mean, I always said, particularly as I played as a striker, I was fortunate to score a number of goals. The only time I ever worried was when I wasn't getting chances, because I thought to myself, well, why am I not getting chances? I need to change something about my game. That's not our issue. What we have to do is be more clinical. We are creating real goal-scoring opportunities, as we did last night. And you'll get none better than the penalty. I mean, Giles Barnes is brave enough to step up to take it. And Giles will know that he's going to put that in the corner. And we had other great opportunities. We played very, very well last night, but came away with nothing. So I don't want it to sound like a hard luck story. We are the ones that have got to change our own fate and decide our destiny. And that's our message moving forward.
It's not supposed to be perfect right now. It is, again, and I don't want to sound like I'm, you know, I'm being an apologist here, but it is a work in progress. It's 11 or 12 new players. It's a new manager. It's a new GM. The structure of an organization has changed. But if you look at this game, you know, there's a lot of very interesting things going on. I love the fact that early in this game, in the first half, you guys were mixing up your corners. You were playing some short corners that actually led to some good chances.
Yeah, well, again, you know from watching us anyway, Glenn, we are very much in terms of looking to bring variations in and implement, you know, different stuff from the training ground onto the pitch. And, you know, you're right. You know, I think we all accept that good things take time, and that's none of us, absolutely none of us, hiding behind anything. Because the bottom line is we want to be picking up results while we're implementing all that, and we believe we can do that. So that's got to be our aim. But where we are just now, at the end of the day, we're still very much in the mix to be in those playoffs where we truly believe that we'll be at the end of the season. And that's within, you know, making as we do, we would hope, clever moves to enhance everything we have at the club. So, of course, I've got to say the last fortnight's not been a particularly pleasing time for anybody involved with the Dynamo, because we've picked up 1 point from these three home games that we certainly felt we were worthy of taking more going into the matches. 76 minutes into the Sporting Kansas game, I mean, it looked to be in a terrific position. As it is, it's went against us, so we have to react to that positively, pick ourselves up, take the criticism that comes, because that's the game we're in. But we're brave enough and big enough to do that. I've certainly been in the game long enough to understand that. Everybody's got an opinion, and that's up to them. But what I do know is how hard myself, that my staff, Chris Kennedy, the president, Matt Jordan, the general manager, how hard we're working to put something in place that will serve us well over a period of time. Not just a knee-jerk reaction or a quick fix, something that can last a period of time. And that's what we're trying to put in place. But of course, within that, we have to understand, and I certainly do as head coach, that you must be looking to pick up points, get yourself in that playoff mix for the end of the season with a chance of winning the ultimate prize, and that's what we will look to do.
He's Owen Coyle joining us here on Yahoo Sports Radio, 1560 AM. And look, your managerial experience has spanned a long time. There are times when teams do things very effectively and don't get results. So if I take you into the psychology of the manager and the place you guys are in, where you play more football by far than San Jose in this game, but you don't get the result. How do you psychologically deal with a group of players and individuals in this game? Because you also want to get some results to validate all the hard work as well.
Absolutely. And that's the thing, because as I said before, we can all come out after a game and say, well, listen, I should have won this game, won that game. When all said and done, you have to pick up the points to go with it. And of course, there are some uncontrollables, but what we've got to do, Glenn, and this is the important thing, we've got to make sure that we control, the stuff that's under our guidance. And in respect to that, out with whether a decision goes against you or not. Last night, if we control that set play, whether he's offside or not, we control that and defend it well enough, it's a shutout. If we control the clinical edge of our game, after all the good build-up play that we score and take our chances, there's no issue. We're sitting with 3 points, having won a game 3-1 comfortably with 3 points. But we didn't. So we have to make sure, and that's the message, be really positive. Because how well we did to a point, but look to add that cutting edge. You live and die in the boxes. Make sure you're ruthless in stopping them at one end and you're clinical in scoring at the other. And when we do that, we know. We've been in big places, LA, DC, Seattle, giving great performances. That's what we've got to do now, moving into the Toronto game. Stand up and be counted. Give the performances we're capable of, and the points will come with that.
Owen, killer instinct, and I know it's something you're working on. You're trying to get people to be more aggressive, and sometimes old habits are hard to break. Is this, are you trying to break, and I don't mean this in a negative way, but are you trying to habitually break some of the habits that have been carried over by a former manager? And it's not a comparison of right or wrong. It's your impetus and your style and purpose of play you want. That's got to be pretty hard, especially after a manager's been there for 8 or 9 years.
Yeah, well, of course. I mean, a number of, as you know, the players have been there for many, many years, and they have their style and everything else. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with that. Absolutely not. All we're trying to implement and bring in is something that will serve us well for moving on. The game's evolving. You and I know as well, Glenn, that when we played, we always exchange stories, because we played with some unbelievable characters in our time. And sometimes they weren't actually the best players in the world, but what they were, Glenn, they were real leaders. They stood up and be counted, and you wanted them. You wanted them next to you on that pitch. You wanted them next to you, shoulder to shoulder, because you knew what you were getting. I want to try and grow a group that they want that guy. They look next to the guy next to them and think, thank goodness he's in my team. And that's what we have to, bit by bit, we have to continue to grow that. But at the same time, the important thing, and there's no getting away from it, we're in a sport that's competitive. We're in a sport that everybody wants to win. And we're in a sport that we want to be in the playoff mix at the end of the season with a chance of winning the big prize. So bringing all that stuff into to implement that, of course, is it difficult? Absolutely. But that's why we're in this game, because we love it. We're passionate about it. We care about it. Nobody hurts more than us, you know, at the very top. Chris Kinetti, Matt Jordan, myself, the staff, the same as the players. We hurt when we don't get those wins. So what we've got to do is make that a positive, turn that into moving forward, to go and get those wins that gets a smile on everybody's face.
Let's talk about Alexander Lopez, because I thought he had some really effective moments, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but it looked like he was doing some good work on the defensive side as well. I thought in transition when the ball was lost, he seemed to get into the defensive thought process pretty quickly.
He did, Glenn. And I think that's a kid with more to come from him as well. I think it's like anything else, you know, it's that confidence of believing that you're trusted to play game in, game out. And when you have that, I think it can really take you to another level. So I think he's learning all the time. And to be fair to the kid, you know, he's very receptive to that. I thought after a full 20 minutes, I thought Boniek came on to a game as well last night and started to cause problems. Then you've got young Lovejoy coming on. So we know we've got pieces that, you know, bit by bit can grow and get better. And those younger ones, the Lopez's, the Rob Lovejoys, I mean, them moving forward, I mean, that excites everybody at the club.
He's Owen Coyle joining us here on Yahoo Sports Radio, 1560 AM. The Dynamo manager, the Dynamo on the road Sunday against Toronto FC. That's a game you'll be able to catch on national television. Plus, Manchester City coming here May 28th to take on the Dynamo. What an opportunity for you to get tickets. They're available right now. Get over to HoustonDynamo.com. All right, Brad Davis in the role above Clark and Garrido for large portions. We saw the benefits reaped of it when we saw the snapshot of him laying on the beautiful pass to Giles Barnes and behind the defense. That could be a wonderful position for Brad, couldn't it?
Well, I think he's a very clever player. I think technically he's as good as what's going about. He sees a pass, can score a goal, he can create a goal, as you know. And we felt that we had to, you know, given obviously what happened to Dallas, we felt we had to bolster that midfield. And Garrido, I've got to say as well, Glenn, I thought Garrido looked back to his best last night. I thought he did very well. So that augurs well. Again, another young one for moving forward. But Brad, yeah, I think in that position, it can certainly help us. And but, you know, he's capable of playing in a number of battles. I thought Brad did very well last night.
Yeah, Luis Garrido also seemed to have an edge and was pretty territorial, I thought, in this match.
Yeah, well, again, I mean, we're giving him, you know, clear instructions what was required of him. And I think, you know, he's had one or two little tummy problems in the last few weeks. But I think he looked back to full health last night, which was great. Because with the energy he brings and, you know, that tackling and everything goes with it, he could be an important player for us moving forward.
Well, Owen, you guys have been a good road team this year. You've had some very good performances in Seattle, in D.C., Los Angeles. So we wish you the best of luck against Toronto FC this Sunday.
Thanks, Glenn. It'll be a great test, and it's one we're looking forward to. I mean, they obviously opened all the work they've done in the stadium, so they'll be in a party atmosphere, I'd imagine. So it's time for the Dynamo to go and spoil the party.
Sounds like a good plan. Thank you very much, Owen, as always.
Cheers, Glenn. Take care.
All right, Owen Coyle joining us here on Yahoo Sports Radio, 1560 AM, and you got to love the manager coming on. Tough losses, they wear it on their sleeves, but he's on the program talking about his team, and this is something that we're fortunate to have. We'll take a break here on Yahoo Sports Radio, 1560 AM.
You're listening to Dynamo All Access, presented by Bud Light, on your home for the Houston Dynamo. Yahoo Sports Radio 1560, from high atop the Gow Building, overlooking the Galleria. Here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Dynamo All Access, and you've seen him this year performing for the Houston Dynamo. He is a rookie out of the University of North Carolina, Rob Lovejoy. He joins us now. Rob, thank you very much, as always, for coming on the program.
Thanks for having me, Glenn.
All right, so let's go quickly into last night at BBVA Compass Stadium. San Jose Earthquakes come in, deep defending, looking for a set piece, trying to steal this game. I know it's a 1-0 loss, but there are a lot of positives that can be taken out of this game.
Yeah, I thought overall we probably outperformed them in many soccer categories, but at the end of the day, the only category that matters is the score itself. And yeah, they got a set piece that they put down and played fairly quickly and kind of caught our defense off guard and put in the back of the net. And it was a bit frustrating. We had a couple chances to turn that around and at least score one more goal to tie it up. And who knows where that would have led if that did happen. I mean, part of the blame is on me as a substitute coming on late in the game and not having as much of an impact as I could have. But I was overall pleased with the way that we played. I think we have a lot to look forward to. And it, again, it's early in the season. We have a lot to build on at this point.
Rob, take us kind of into the locker room a little bit and how the players felt, because it was clearly a night where the Dynamo created more chances, had the majority of the ball possession, almost 70%. Even though there were no shots on goal in the first half, there were shots that were just pulled wide, you know, crosses from Giles Barnes that Ricardo Clark just missed getting in on the end of, Raul Rodriguez's header over the top after a flick on at the near post. So there were chances. And that's maybe what makes us hurt a little bit more, right?
Yeah, again, I mean, I thought we had some guys getting it into extremely dangerous areas on the field. We were threatening all night long, so we'll look to carry that forward into the weekend. But back to your question, I think if I would have described the locker room afterwards in one word, it would have just been frustrated. Guys are frustrated that, you know, in the last three home games, we've only taken away 1 point, and now we have a couple away games, so we're going to have to overcome that obstacle and try and build on the good performance that we had, but the lack of results. So hopefully we can turn that around in our favor.
Now, obviously, this is a building process because, you know, there are new players. There's a new structure in place. You're new to the scene now. You know, where are you now at this stage of the season, in your first professional season with everything that's going on around you? Because I would think it's, in some ways, kind of a whirlwind.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I mean, I'm continuing to adjust to the professional lifestyle and environment every single day. I'm continuing to learn from our great coaching staff and the other veteran players on our team. But I think I'm starting to settle in a bit more now than opposed to the beginning of the season. The nerves are kind of fading as I go on the field. I'm getting more comfortable playing in front of our fan base and getting more comfortable playing in those types of environment. And so hopefully that's something I can build on individually to help have more of an impact for our team going forward.
He's Rob Lovejoy joining us here. Rookie had his first ever Major League Soccer goal against Montreal. It's not easy coming in a game like this with pressure on, trying to grab a goal back against a deep defending team. And not everybody's capable of doing it, but it certainly is a role that you can handle. And I know it's not a role that you did much in college, I don't think, because you were a starter all the time. How difficult is that to mentally, you know, get thrust into the fray and have to be right there with the pace of the game off the bench?
Yeah, I mean, it is a different role that I'm not accustomed to. And I'm taking away different things from each and every game and, you know, sitting down afterwards, and whether it's going through the film or talking through different plays with certain guys, it's starting to come together for me, and I'm growing more confident and competent, I think, in that substitution role. I'll be ready whenever Owen needs me, whether that's in the first minute or the 85th minute or the 90th minute. It's just more of a attitude and a psychology that you have to bring to the game to be ready whenever you're called upon.
Now, you guys must have been very happy because you certainly rectified the defensive side of it. A little bit of a tactical switch in this game, but defensively, you know, the shape of the team came back. The ball got moved well. All these things beginning to fall into place, yet you don't get the final end product that gets you a result. So results and progress, you do need those results on occasion to make sure that you're validating the progress and what's going on.
Sure. I mean, like I said, we're just continuing to build on all the little things, and soccer is such a detail-oriented game. Details add up throughout the course of a 90-minute game, and, you know, last night we just didn't get one little detail right on that set piece that they scored off of, and you know, that's something that we'll go back through in training and review and look at again and try and learn from to make sure that that doesn't happen again. So it's just a matter of getting the details right at this point in time. I think big picture, we're starting to come together. We're getting better each and every game. We're starting to put our, you know, our we're starting to match our defense and offense intensity. It's looking good. The future is definitely looking good.
Rob Lovejoy joining us here out of the University of North Carolina, one of the top draft choices for the Houston Dynamo, signed here in his first season of Major League Soccer in 2015, came off the bench against San Jose, 1-0 loss, the Dynamo dominating in all pretty much all categories of this game, but don't produce the vital goal, and you got to chase the game. And I know you've been in games before where, you know, you're playing deep defending teams, they're destructive, they're hard to break down, and if you concede the first goal to them, they become a pretty defined and pretty dangerous animal to compete against.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it definitely takes some patience and string a few passes together and waiting for that right moment to attack and get into dangerous spaces in and around the box. Again, last night I thought we created several dangerous moments, so even if they didn't result in a shot on goal, but that's something, you know, that we'll work on in practice again this week, is just continuing to create chances on goal, and hopefully we can bury a few up in Toronto on Sunday.
In your mind, and obviously, you know, my perspective is from the outside, and it's up high, and it's on television, and that has to be sort of tempered, because it's easy to be in the position I'm in. But there were times I thought that the Dynamo might be a little hesitant to get shots off and not take responsibility and maybe overpass it and overthink it on occasion. Would you agree or disagree with that?
I don't know if I necessarily agree with that. Just from a coaching standpoint and perspective, Owen's very free-flowing. He encourages individual expression, encourages you to get after the opponent and, you know, bring what you bring individually to help the team collectively. And, you know, that's probably the biggest thing I've taken away so far. Every time I step on the field, he's telling me to go at guys, get crosses in, or go at guys and try and cut inside and get a shot off. And, you know, that's one of my strengths on the field. And he likes to see that. And it's very encouraging as from a player's point of view to have a coach who encourages or who brings out your best qualities. And so I'm hoping that on Sunday that, you know, we have a quick memory and forget what happened on Tuesday and put that behind us and try and bring the same intensity that we brought early on in the match, but with a different outcome, obviously.
You had one of those moments off the bench where you did cut inside, and I thought you were causing San Jose some problems because you were finding space, and if my memory serves me right, you hit one with some pretty good power just over the crossbar.
Yeah. I mean, I was in a few dangerous, you know, moments where I could have gotten crosses in or I got a couple shots off. But the end product just wasn't there for me last night. I mean, I thought, you know, I did an okay job of keeping the ball and, you know, playing my defensive part. But just the final product was lacking last night, and so it's something that I can improve on individually.
Rob, next up for you guys is Toronto FC at home on Sunday. It'll be your first experience playing in Toronto, and of course it's Toronto's home opener, so there's going to be a real cauldron of passion up there on Sunday. But that could be something that can be looked upon as opportunity, exciting, and an opportunity to go into Toronto and, you know, pin a loss on them in their home opener.
Sure. I mean, every game is, you know, an opportunity for us to go out there and prove that we can do. We know that we can play with the best. We've already shown that this season with our performance against LA Galaxy early on. I thought we played very well. We were very threatening that game and got out of there with a 1-1 draw, and it could have easily been a win for us. So we'll look to bring that same mindset to Toronto. I mean, they have a roster of extraordinarily talented players, some guys who I've grown up admiring and watching my entire life. So to be on the field with them, if I get the opportunity, will be a dream in itself.
Rob Lovejoy joining us here on Yahoo Sports Radio, 1560 AM. Have you gotten over that part of it? I remember the first year I was in the pros, and you know, you're playing against somebody who played in the World Cup, or you know, the captain of Hungary or guys that have been places you've never been and you may never even get. But at some point, you just have to get over that. They're just footballers, right? They're soccer players.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I'm starting to get a little bit, you know, more comfortable with the opposition. I mean, the first couple of times I step out on the field, I'm just awestruck to, you know, come out and play against Robbie Keane or somebody like that. And, it's, you know, it's something that you have, a hurdle you have to get over and think about what you can bring to help the team each and every day. And that's what my mindset is right now. I feel like I have more to offer, and hopefully we'll be able to display that on Sunday.
Rob, as always, thank you very much for coming on the program. Look forward to your next visit, and we wish you the best of luck against Toronto FC this Sunday.
Thanks for having me, Glenn.
All right, that's Rob Lovejoy. By the way, a reminder, the Dynamo will take on Manchester City May 28th at BBVA Compass Stadium. Get out, get your tickets. You can get them over at HoustonDynamo.com. They are on sale now. Mexico will be playing Honduras in July. You got the Gold Cup coming to Houston. Tons of soccer content coming through this city. We'll take another break. We'll come back. We've got a lot more to go here tonight on Dynamo All Access, Yahoo Sports Radio, 1560 AM.
You're listening to Dynamo All Access, presented by Bud Light, on your home for the Houston Dynamo, Yahoo Sports Radio 1560. From high atop the Gow Building, overlooking the Galleria, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, we go to Munich, Germany now, and joining us, talking football correspondent, Sal Mietha. Sal, thank you very much for coming on the program tonight. First off, let's talk a little bit about what happened today. FC Barcelona 3-0 over Bayern Munich, your team there in Munich, Germany. What's sort of the feeling and the sentiment on the street right now in the press and with the fans of Bayern Munich?
Well, it started off to be a rainy day in Munich, and a lot of the beer gardens were hoping that the weather would turn, that they can at least show the game, get the people excited about it. And that's exactly what happened. The clouds went away. The sun came out. It was perfect weather to watch a game in the beer gardens tonight. And so a lot of worry turned into hope because what I was hoping for was Bayern to play a survival control versus damage control. Damage control would mean losing, but only losing 2-1 or 3-1. And I was afraid that if they did that, it would allow Messi and company to rip through them. And so I felt like they had to have survival control, play the hardest 45 minutes at a time, and not focus on accepting a loss. And that's exactly what happened. It was a physical game on both sides, which I liked. Pep's defensive strategy by keeping 3 men back, it did allow Suarez some easy chances, but the defense held. And the key to me was Neuer getting back his groove, and that's what happened. It's just that, unfortunately, with 15 minutes to go, Bayern just lost concentration. Barcelona adjusted, and they were able to score. And, of course, you can only hope to contain Messi, and they just couldn't do it for 90 minutes.
Sal, you talked about breaking the concentration. Talk a little bit about that. Is that partially self-inflicted, and then is that partially just because of the strength, the power of Barcelona, the quality of Barcelona, that that mental concentration against the quality of that team, it has to be on another level, doesn't it?
Yeah, I try not to watch the post-game analysis because I wanted to give you my take on the game. But one thing that they mentioned was right before the Messi's first goal, Neymar dove, and Bayern started to complain, and the referee kind of gave the referee some time to think it over, realizing that giving Neymar a second yellow would have a tremendous impact, not only on the match at hand, but definitely the return match in Munich. And so I'm not going to question the referee there, whether he was going to pull it or not. But for Bayern, they did lose the concentration. And they felt like they should have gotten that yellow card. They would have played with 11 to 10. But it is the power of Barcelona. And you know, from the beginning, you thought, okay, once they get one goal, they're gonna get into a groove, and that's exactly what happened in the final 15 minutes. And that final goal that Neymar scored, 2-0 is one thing, but 3-0 at home, just puts Bayern in such a deep hole, and it's just a shame that they just lost the last minute. They let Neymar run free and score against Neuer.
Yeah, the third goal almost makes it seem a little bit insurmountable now. What do you think the approach is ultimately going to be in the second leg back in Munich? I mean, how do you reverse something like this? I mean, it is Bayern Munich. We know what they're capable of, but this is also Barcelona. And
you can't
tell me that they're going to not get a road goal at the Allianz.
Let's talk about what we've seen from Bayern. And, you know, I've said this on the show. You know, Donetsk, they played 0-0 on the road. They lost to Porto 3-1. But again, this is Barcelona. You're definitely right. And you know, and I never believed in the playing the second leg at home as an advantage, because knowing that what you have to do and then actually doing it is two different things. And down 3-0, as I mentioned, every goal would sink Bayern even much more deeper into that hole. And think about this: if you saw the beginning of the game, Barcelona said, "We are ready," and they truly remember what happened in 2013. They lost 7-0 to Bayern aggregate in those two legs in the semifinal. They came out today knowing they wanted to win, and I can imagine they're going to just turn it on. Bayern just didn't have enough punch. Lewandowski had a great chance at the beginning. There's just no punch on the Bayern's offense. Defense played well, but there's only so much time, so much minutes in the match that you can hold that powerful Bayern Barcelona offense.
Let's take a look at this just at the spectacle. What a football match this was today. I mean, I finished watching that game, and I said to myself, how can I even go in and talk soccer tonight for 2 hours? Because to be honest, it's not a night to talk soccer. It was a night to just relish and feast your eyes on that and be silent. Yet, the brilliance of Messi, the way he Messi went past Boateng as though it was a bowling pin. He's got his feet so tangled up and frozen to the ground. It was unbelievable. And then the delicate nature with which he scored just reminds me of how unique this man really is.
Yeah, you know, and that's the one thing that if you're a true Bayern fan, that of course you're a little bit sad. But as you mentioned, sit back, relish in what you're seeing, and you know, it's just wonderful watching Messi. And I did get a comment from a friend of mine that he watches all the German national the World Cup matches, and so he always saw Messi against Argentina, unfortunately always neutralized, and he still remembers from 2013 where Messi unfortunately was injured. But he saw tonight, he says, man, I finally saw Messi do something. And of course, that's just, you know, you think about him, okay, how much football and how much soccer has he watched over
I was about
Messi's
to
career?
Say, he must not
but
be watching a lot of games.
Game into a capsule, yeah, definitely. This is a game that you can see. And what was good that Bayern didn't embarrass themselves. Sure, they lost 3-0, but it was a great matchup between two of the powerhouses in Europe. And if you think about also Juventus and Real Madrid, and I was just thinking about, as well as the match was ending, that how much I've seen of Real, Juventus, Barcelona over the last few years, them playing against Munich, me going to see them, talking to the players, watching those matches, that this was these two matches back-to-back showed how wonderful it is to watch Champions League and to appreciate a team like Barcelona and a talent like Messi. I never got to see Michael Jordan play live for personal reasons, but I feel like I'm really enjoying and I'm seeing someone on that kind of level. And I will be able to tell my grandkids that.
Yeah, we all are. We all are witnessing history, something very special. Sal Mehta talking football with us. So what's happening, you know, in Munich tonight? Is it, you know, this is a city that lives and breathes football. Is there an intense sadness that is looming and kind of cloud covering Munich tonight because of this result?
We'll have to see what the press says. But, you know, as I was looking at the preview articles, it was all about hope. The season's not over. We're not going to talk about that our season is completely destroyed. We are focused on making it to Berlin to the final. They unfortunately couldn't make it to the Berlin final for the German Cup, but we're going to make it and play the Champions League final in our country. So it was a lot about a hope. Now it's about, okay, now let's see what we're going to do next. And I would imagine we don't know which team's going to show up. Are we going to see the Donetsk-Porto team that showed up and just outscored them and blitzed them, winning 7-1 and 6-0? Or are we going to see the same team, knowing that they had to beat Real Madrid at home, and they lose and they lost 4-0? Which team are we going to see? So that's my personal opinion, is again, the clouds may come back again at the end, but this weekend. I can see that they're playing Augsburg in the Bundesliga. Last weekend, they played a B team against Leverkusen. So Bayern may just you know, they won the championship, the league title already. They may just go out and play, you know, listlessly for 90 minutes on Saturday to focus on that. And so the key is to get that spark back and try to win it and just turn the table and win 4-0, win 5-0, win 6-0, and then all will be good.
Emotional night in Munich. It is FC Barcelona 3-0 winners over Bayern Munich and staying up late in Munich, Germany tonight, who has been a great friend to us here on Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 and also here on Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM, Sal Mitha of Talking Fußball. Sal, as always, thank you for your insight.
Yeah, guten Abend aus München.
Guten Abend, and that's Sal Mitha from Munich, Germany. We love how he stays up late here. Quick word for Bud. Bud Light, we remind you that it is the time of the year to get down to BBVA Compass Stadium. Manchester City is coming now to take on the Houston Dynamo on the 28th of May. Get your tickets for that. They are available. Bud Light reminds you to get to BBVA Compass Stadium. Take in the Manchester United Dynamo game. Take in the Houston Dash. Take in MLS. Take in the Gold Cup. It's all there in the beautiful stadium on the east side of downtown. Bud Light is the official sponsor of Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM, Dynamo All Access, and Major League Soccer. We'll take a break. We have a lot more to come here tonight.
You're listening to Dynamo All Access, presented by Bud Light, on your home for the Houston Dynamo. Yahoo Sports Radio 1560, from high atop the Gal Building overlooking the Galleria. Here's Glenn Davis.
All right, tonight we wrap it up in big style. We go down to Mexico City. Joining us live now from that great city in Mexico is the one and only Tom Marshall of ESPN, and he covers Liga MX like no other. Tom, thank you very much for coming on the program tonight.
No, thanks for having me, Glenn. Always a pleasure.
It's always a pleasure, and a lot of our listeners always look forward to your segments on this program. All right, let me take you back to the U.S. 2-0 victory over Mexico in San Antonio. Sold-out crowd. Obviously, both teams missing a ton of players. How is that received back in Mexico, the loss to the United States?
I think it's obviously due to the rivalry. Obviously, Mexico fans just hate losing against the United States. But I think it was kind of tinged with the reality that, you know, I think out of the starting 11, the Miguel Herrera fielded, I think probably only one will be a starter this summer in either the Copa America or the Gold Cup. So I think there is a realization that this was very much a kind of preparation and a kind of game more to fill out the squad than kind of to see who will be starting this summer. So I think there was a realization of that as well. It wasn't as intense as it would be if you know, the United States beat Mexico in the Gold Cup this summer or something like that.
Do fans condition a game like that, though, and say to themselves and in discussion and maybe journalists in the press, do they go, well, it's not a full Mexican squad, so it really doesn't mean anything? Because you and I were at the game, and it meant something to 69,000 people.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And I think the fact that, you know, the United States appears to have this hold over Mexico at present, I know, you know, I think it's back since the Gold Cup in 2011, the last time Mexico won against the United States, if I'm not mistaken. So there is that kind of psychological issue now that I think there is something there that I think Jurgen Klinsmann just really enjoys playing Mexico. And I think that it's something that Miguel Herrera knows. I think his post-game press conference was really interesting because he said, he was asked, what do the fans think? What do the fans think about the, you know, they've gone so many games now against the United States without winning? And his reply was, you know, the story's going to change this summer. Don't worry. I mean, so when the Gold Cup's coming around, he's very confident that when he's got his full arsenal of players, that Mexico will defeat the U.S. Should be spicy.
Something tells me you used that quote in one of your articles, Tom.
Yep. You can't not use it.
You're going, that's gold there from Miguel Herrera. And I think that's why we like him as well, because he is pretty right up front. Now, let's continue this with the same thing. The under-23 U.S. national team gets a victory over Mexico. How about that? Is that conditioned, or is that, hey, the United States got a result at the under-23 level?
I mean, I think it's a similar story in that, you know, Mexico didn't have a lot of the players that will be there at, you know, the Olympics in 2016. But again, I mean, it's not nice to lose against the United States. I think that a lot of Mexico fans on Twitter were kind of pointing to the fact that, that ahead of the Olympics, the United States beat Mexico, and then Mexico went on to be, you know, Olympic gold medalist. So I don't know. I mean, obviously, never ever nice to Mexico fans to be on the receiving end, especially against the United States. But I think there is a realization that, you know, it wasn't on TV down here in Mexico, and is very much part of the process that, you know, it's got a little over a year to go now before the Olympics. So I don't think the reaction was too fierce, to be honest.
He's Tom Marshall. He's ESPN FC. You can catch his readings at ESPN FC. On the internet, and his writings, and it's some great stuff. It's great coverage in Mexico. Let's go to Kubo Torres now, who did make the bench this past weekend for Chivas, but didn't. He hasn't played in the last three games. What's going on with Kubo Torres for Chivas, and when do you think he lands in the United States?
Yeah, I mean, I actually spoke to him about 10 days ago now, and, you know, it was the media day at Chivas, and I don't know, he just didn't seem quite, he didn't seem very happy. I mean, he's usually quite bubbly and, you know, likes to speak. And, you know, I got him straight right at the beginning of the media day. So I thought, you know, he might be fresh. And, you know, I asked him about, you know, when he might be coming to Houston. And he said, basically, as soon as Chivas' season ends, so whenever they kind of go out of the playoffs, I mean, it looks like they're going to make the playoffs. So whenever they go out, then he would be going to Houston. Then there's the issue of, you know, is he going to be involved in Mexico this summer? At the Copa America or possibly the Pan American Games. So we'll have to see how that works out. But, you know, honestly, Glenn, he's just not having a great time at the minute. You know, I was asking him about before the Super Clásico against America, how much it means. And, you know, it does mean a lot to the kid. He's a local Guadalajara kid. And for him to be completely left out of the squad for Mexico's biggest game, you know, will have really hurt him. So, yeah, it's not going good for him at the minute. And I'm sure behind the... he's quite well trained in terms of media, handling the media, but I'm sure in terms of underneath, he really can't wait now to head north to Houston.
Tom Marshall, ESPN, and, well, fans here in Houston are waiting for the arrival of Kubo Torres. Nobody knows when that's exactly going to be, and we've got to think he's going to get called up to the Mexican national team for one of these events. Let's go to Club America Montreal, and, you know, CONCACAF Champions League, opportunity to go to the FIFA Club World Cup. Boy, and so much hope put on Montreal here in the United States, representing not only Canada, but also Major League Soccer, no matter what any of you say out there. They are representing Major League Soccer. Well, listen, Tom, as always, we thank you very much for coming on the program. And again, that's Tom Marshall from Mexico City of ESPN. Thank you very much, Tom, as always, for coming on the program.
Thanks a lot, Glenn. It was good fun.
Always good fun, and we'll do it again real soon. That's Tom Marshall, and right now, quick word here for Bud Light. Bud Light reminds you to get over to BBVA Compass Stadium. There'll be Gold Cup matches there this year, a Kenny Chesney concert coming up, all kinds of great things happening down at BBVA Compass Stadium. Bud Light also reminds you to get down there to watch the Houston Dynamo and the Houston Dash, the Dash of the NWSL. They will play this weekend as well, and of course, the Dynamo tomorrow night against San Jose on the return of Dominic Kinnear. Bud Light, great supporters of the game of soccer, great supporters and sponsors and producer Michael Carroll, you the listeners, you the callers, Twitter, Glenn Davis Sock, Facebook, Soccer Matters. Get over there, like us, friend us. Good night, everyone.